With Achish, the king of the Philistines, chapter 70. It was not long before envy and wickedness again reigned in Saul's heart. He could not tolerate the fact that the Lord had rejected him and had chosen David to become king. If he could capture and kill David, he would be rid of him. Regardless of all the promises which he had made to David, he again tries to catch him. When David heard that Saul was seeking him again, he became very discouraged. Must he flee again? Oh, if this continues, he will fall into the hand of Saul and perish. Do you know what David did? He and his men fled to the Philistine city of Gath, to Achish the king. This is the second time he goes to Gath. The first time, when he was alone, he brought himself into the greatest danger. Because he acted as though he were mad or insane, they let him go. Now David flees to Achish with his 600 men. O David, isn't the Lord mighty and able to protect you in your own land? Must you go to the enemy's land? Doesn't the Lord still live? At this moment, David neither relies on nor trusts in God. He doubts God's eternal faithfulness. This time, Achish does not send David away, but allows him to remain. Achish thinks, "Now I have someone who will help me against Saul." David soon tires of living in Gath. Achish sees everything he does, and David would rather not be watched so closely. A short distance from Gath lies the city of Ziklag. Formerly, this place belonged to Israel, but the Philistines took that city from them. "May I go and live in Ziklag?" he asked Achish. Achish has no objection and gives him assent. Immediately, David and those with him leave Gath and enter Ziklag. Many of the men have their wives and children with them. But now David is confronted with this problem. How shall my men and I be able to get enough food? Yes, that will be difficult. But David knows a solution. From time to time, he and his men would go on a journey. Where to? He invades the land of the Amalekites, the old enemies of Israel, and the inhabitants of other hostile lands. He kills every person wherever he goes, men, women, and children. He plunders all their cattle, gold, and silver. He returns to Ziklag with much spoil. When Achish hears that David has been away and has returned, he asks, "Where have you been?" "Oh," David answers, "I have fallen against the land of Judah. I have fought against my own people." Achish smiles and thinks, "That is good. Now David can never return to his own land. He has become an enemy of his own people and must remain here. He shall always be my servant." He does not notice that David is lying. He believes him completely. "David, David, where is your trust in God? You should never do what you are doing now. You should never lie." David lived in Ziklag 16 months. He deceived Achish all those months. The blessing of the Lord could never rest upon these actions of David. David could not do anything else, because beginning with such deceitful actions, he had to continue these evil ways. But David had neither a peaceful life nor a happy one. Again, David leaves Ziklag. His men follow him. David looks very sad as he and his soldiers walk in silence. What is the trouble? Has his deceitfulness been discovered? No, it has not. However, he is in great difficulty. The Philistines have assembled their soldiers. They want to fight against Israel. Achish sends messengers throughout all the land, including Ziklag. David must go also. Achish demands it. What must David do? Fight against his own people? No, he cannot. Never. No, never will he do that. What then? Refuse Achish? Neither can he do that, because Achish would then say to him, "Why don't you want to help me? You already have fought so many times against the Israelites. At least you told me so." Then his deceitfulness would be revealed, and David does not want that. He would be ashamed. David's own guilt brought him into this great difficulty. He really does not know what he should do. But Achish waits. David must come to a decision. "You will see what I can do," said David to him. Achish thinks that he can rely upon David. He gives him an honorable position. David and his men shall be Achish's bodyguard. So David must protect the king of the Philistines. Philistine soldiers come marching from all directions. They all meet at one place, probably Gath. They come from all the other cities of the Philistines, from Ekron, Ashdod, Gaza, and Ashkelon. They all march toward the land of Israel. Achish and his army are in the rear. David is with him. David does not know what to do. He does not know what will become of this move. "O David, why not pray to God?" Yes, that is just what makes him so fearful. He dare not pray. 16 months he has been lying and deceiving Achish. He has lived in this sin for 16 months. Oh, the Lord will not want to hear him any more. If the Lord leaves him to himself, it is what he deserves. But when the other princes of the Philistines see David, they ask Achish, "What do these Hebrews hear?" The Israelites are also called Hebrews, so Israelites or Hebrews are the same. Achish answers the princes, "That is David, a man in whom we can put all our trust. He has served me for 16 months, and I have never caught him telling me a lie." "Achish, Achish, if you only knew." The other princes of the Philistines were angry with Achish. "Send him back," they demand. "Can't you understand that during the battle he will help our enemies and fight against us? Don't you understand that he will betray us? Either one or the other. David must be sent back, or we do not go along." Yes, Achish now must send David back to Ziklag. "I cannot help it," he excuses himself to David. "The princes demand that you return. I am sorry, but you must go back to Ziklag. You need not fight, for they will not have you." What do you think? Was David glad? Yes, you can be sure of that. But he does not say this. Oh no, he again deceives Achish. "Why may I not go along? What have I done?" Children, how is it possible that David can act in this manner? It shows how evil a person is, isn't that right? The Lord is so good to govern everything in such a manner that David could return, and David still plays the part of a hypocrite towards Achish. "Very well," he mumbles angrily, "then I will be gone." With an angry look, he returns to Ziklag, but in his heart he is happy. He is at once delivered out of his misery and trouble. His friends also are pleased. All has turned out well, so they think. We do not read that David thanked the Lord for this deliverance. Children, he could not. If we live in sin, we cannot be thankful to the Lord. We may thank him with our mouth, but never with our heart, never uprightly. "Yes, David, it is your fault." "Oh, something is wrong. What is it?" David stands with his friends about him. His friends? They are enemies, who clench their fists and speak threatening words to him. Their eyes are flaming with rage. "Let us stone him," cries one of them. "Let us kill him," shrieks another. Why this sudden change? As friends, they were sharing one another's joys and sorrows. But now, they could tear him to pieces. But what is the reason for all this? David and his 600 men left Achish and journeyed with light hearts toward Ziklag. They were full of joy. They were tired, for already they had walked a great distance. But they soon will be able to rest. They soon will be with their wives and children. The nearer they come to Ziklag, the faster they walk. They have only one more hill to climb, and they climb over this last hill, and smoke rises from the place where Ziklag was at one time. The city is burned. Who did this? They do not know. Their wives are gone. Their children are gone. Everything is gone. The strong, courageous men who feared nothing burst into weeping. They have nothing left, but their grief changes into wrath. David is the cause of it all. He never should have lied and deceived as he did. Do you see? This is the result. This is the outcome of his sinful actions. And David, what must he do? Nothing. Nothing. He stands powerless against this angry mob. That gnawing voice within also is speaking. It is true what these men are saying. David bows his head. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. It would be righteous if he were killed, if he were murdered by his own people. He had fled so that Saul would not kill him. But now he will be wretchedly murdered by his own companions and friends. In this great distress, a sigh goes up to God from the heart of David. It is not a long prayer. It is only a sigh. But God hears this sigh. God does not act according to the foolishness of his servant David. David has been unfaithful, but God is faithful. God is unchangeable. Unexpectedly, a calm enters the heart of sinful David. Once again, he believes that God will help him. For we read in the Bible, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And what then? courage appears in the eyes of David. With God's help, he shall rescue whatever he can. He calls Abiathar, the high priest, who inquires of the Lord whether they should pursue their enemies. And God answers immediately, "Yes, saith God, pursue them. You shall overtake them and also recover your beloved relatives." David at once cries out, "Men, stop your murmuring. We shall pursue them." New courage fills the hearts of these despairing men. Immediately they go on their way, deeper into the wilderness. But some of his soldiers can go no further. They are so faint and weary. With great effort, they drag themselves forward until they arrive at a brook. That is too much for them. 200 men are so weak that they could not go over the brook. So David said to them, "You may stay at this place. Take care of our utensils." Whatever the other men did not need, they left behind, and David with 400 men renewed the pursuit. In a field on the way, they find a very sick youth who is nearly unconscious. They give him water to drink and bread to eat. Soon he feels much better. His strength returns. "Who are you?" David inquires. The lad answers, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. We invaded Judah. Out of wrath, we burned Ziklag with fire. On the return journey, I became sick. My master left me lay here, and I would have died from hunger and thirst if you had not found me." "Will you show us the way to this army?" asks David. For a moment, the young Egyptian hesitates. "If you will promise not to deliver me to my former master, I will show you the way," he says. David promises him. They go forward with rapid strides, the Egyptian walking first, leading the way. At last, David overtakes the Amalekites, who notice nothing. They fear no danger. They are scattered about, resting in the sand. Meanwhile, they are celebrating and feasting, eating and drinking, and some are dancing. Suddenly, they are taken by surprise by David and his embittered soldiers. In wild confusion, they flee, leaving everything behind. But David pursues them, and only 400 escape. David and his men return and find their wives and children. There is great happiness, for not one person is missing. They return homeward, carrying much spoil. The 200 men who were left at the brook are no longer tired, but are waiting for them to return. They also receive their portion of the spoil, for David will have it so. They soon arrive in Ziklag. True thankfulness fills the hearts of David and those with him. God has given a miraculous deliverance. Did David give the Egyptian slave his freedom? Did he return to Egypt going through the great wilderness? Did he arrive in his native land? Did he go home to his parents? Children, upon these questions, we have no answer, but it could be possible.